Right now on VFN TV, we're going to hear from Congressman Trey Gowdy as he's speaking at Second Church in Houston. And guess what? This congressman is delivering. He's a believer. He's a Christian. He's delivering a message right to the church because the church is the answer for unity. He and Senator Tim Scott wrote a book called Unified, and they're coming together and calling us to be unified and be the unifying factor for the nation of America right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me, of course, is John Ramos.
Hello.
What's going on? We are all into unity,
yes.
Christ-centered unity.
That's right.
When you think about it, it's United States unity, United States of America, when you think about the nation of America.
United we stand.
United we stand.
Divided we fall.
One nation under God, divided we fall. You think even on our money, it says, e pluribus unum, though we're many, we're one. I think about the Moravians who were really responsible for the awakening that brought this nation to pass. You know, their motto was in the essentials
unity,
in the non-essentials liberty, and in all things love. That's what brought our country to pass. Well, you think about this. Senator Tim Scott and Trey Gowdy, Congressman Trey Gowdy, wrote a book called Unified. You're seeing it here. You got to get this book. This is an amazing true now narrative story that we need to understand. And listen, Congressman Trey Gowdy, a congressman speaking at, I believe, Second Baptist Church in Houston, is delivering a message to the church that the church is the answer to bringing unity back to America. This whole program is dedicated to this wonderful now message, authentic message from Trey Gowdy, believe it or not, congressman at Second Baptist Church in Houston. Let's join him right now.
If you are a believer, then I want you to eavesdrop. I'm not asking you this question. I'm going to ask myself this question. I want you to eavesdrop in on it, giving you permission to listen in as I have a conversation with myself. Are you a believer who happens to be interested in the political process? Or are you a Republican or Democrat who happens to attend church? Are you a believer who happens to want to be civically engaged? Or are you a Republican or a Democrat who happens to attend church? What is the source of your identity? There was a British theologian, politician, statesman, controversial writings on the one hand, but had a quote that I cannot get out of my head, a man named G.K. Chesterton. He said, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting or lacking or insufficient. It is that Christianity is hard, and therefore it's rarely been tried. And I can't get that out of my head because it is hard. It is counterintuitive to what we are told to do and what we watch. It is counterintuitive to love your enemies. It is counterintuitive to pray for those who persecute you. It is counterintuitive if someone asks for your shirt to give them your cloak as well. And it is most assuredly counterintuitive to live in this current environment and know that Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. It is hard. But if you want to see the kind of unity that Senator Scott and I want to see, then the change will come from you. It will not come from your elected officials, and it will not come from Washington, D.C. And I'm not I'm leaving, but I am not bashing people as I walk out the door. It's been an honor to be there for 8 years, and I've met a lot of really wonderful people. But it is not the way to change our culture. Politics reflects. It does not lead. And so I hear this word people, and I think, well, it's in our foundational document, we the people. And it's also in the foundational document for your life, which is the Bible, where it says, if my people. Christianity is hard. It is hard to follow the teachings of Christ. But if you want a model for unity, then you need to find someone who broke every barrier you can possibly imagine. Gender barrier. Not just the woman at the well. That was radical. That was radical, the fact that he would speak to her in public. But it's more than that. Some of the very first people to recognize his deity were women. The last people to leave him at the cross were women. The first people to embrace the fact that he had been resurrected were women. So he broke gender barriers. He broke racial barriers. You familiar with the story of the Good Samaritan? It's not about a rich dude who footed somebody else's hospital bill. That's part of it. It's about crossing religious and racial barriers. Socioeconomic barriers. That's a big one in our country. I have looked and looked and looked to find nice things that Jesus said about rich people. Because I am leaving government work and I am going into the private sector, so I have really been looking for nice things that he might possibly have said about rich people. And I might try it anyway, but I'm having a really hard time finding a lot of complimentary things. I find something about a needle and an eye and a camel. Every barrier you can imagine, he broke down. So when you think about, do I want to live in a society that embraces contrast but rejects the conflict? Do I want to be able to have a conversation and listen without prejudice and have other people listen to me without prejudice? Do I want to live in a society where we don't immediately rush to what we don't have in common? That's the beautiful thing that I have found as I have traveled the country for the last 8 years, is most of us want most of the same things. We may have very different ways of acquiring it, but at least start with the fact that we want the same things. How many of you have ever sat beside someone on a plane that can't read body language and cannot figure out that you do not want to talk for the next 4 hours? And you put the headphones on and you got the book out and you're not making eye contact, but none of that's working. They're going to talk. How do you start? Do you start by saying, tell me about your deeply held religious views? Tell me who you voted for in the last presidential election. No, we don't start. Where are you going? You're going to see family? You got children? You got grandchildren? What do you do for a living? We do that in almost every facet of life. We look for that common ground. Where Tim and I eat dinner, we are in the minority. And when I say we're in the minority, most of the folks who work at that restaurant were not born in the United States. They got here as quick as they could, but they were not born in the United States. So where do we go? Tell us about your country. Tell us about your family. And then it morphs into sports. There are lots of things that are not divisive that we can talk about. And I don't understand why, as we as a culture have figured out that that's where we want to run to first. You can have those complicated conversations after you have a relationship with someone. Tim and I have had some very frank conversations about law enforcement. After almost every officer-involved shooting, I get a call from him. Tell me what happened. Tell me how you're seeing this. Race is tough. Race is tough to talk about. But when you have a relationship and you care about each other, I'm married to a public school teacher. Tim has a very different perspective on education. He's a straight choice guy. I'm somewhere in the middle. If we wanted to argue about things, there's plenty of things we could find to argue about. We don't want to. We want to discuss them, and then we want to come back to stuff we have in common. And if you are a believer, that should be enough in common with someone else to overcome any conflict that you have.
This is so powerful what Congressman Trey Gowdy is sharing at the Second Baptist Church. Understand this. This is God's heart for us. This is God's heart for us. As a matter of fact, Psalms 133 says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's the place of the commanded blessing. When we talk about the Moravians and the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. No matter what's going on, we're loving each other. We're caring. God loves everyone and wish that no one would be passed without knowing him. Everyone's created in the image and the likeness of God, and that we get our breath from God. And understand this, that when you see people through God's eyes, then you can begin to think about other things. And what you're hearing continually in media is things about dividing us. Well, don't listen to that. Listen to things to unite us. And the church is the one that actually should be bringing that message. And we talk about that at VFN Kingdom Business. You know, you go to civilchristianity.org. We've been talking about this for quite some time. We got to unify under love, you know, unity in the essentials, liberty in the non-essentials, and all things love. That's all about it in civilchristianity.org. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to hear Trey Gowdy, Congressman Trey Gowdy, continue, you know, about talking this profound secret to success for unity for America, that we have to go this way. And he's talking the church is the answer. If you're a believer, you are the answer. After this break.
We'll be right back. This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
You know, you can take a lot of challenges. You can take a lot of attacks. And I face it all the time. I remember critiquing or commenting on the book not too long ago, written by a famous person here, on why he was not sure if hell existed at all. And the book was called Love Wins. So I critiqued it and wrote, and somebody wrote me a totally angry letter for disagreeing with the book. I was so tempted to write back, dear friend, evidently love does not win. I'll tell you what, none of my teammates have been spared. You get this guy, we get used to the flack from those on the other side of it. When you get shot at from the back, you expect to be booed on the opponent's turf. When you're booed on your own turf, it's very hard to take.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
And Chris does too.
And I think Chris does too. He's shaking.
He got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh,
there.
He's jumping. He abides too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
No.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely, definitely speak.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is so powerful. Congressman Trey Gowdy is speaking at Second church, Second Baptist Church in Houston, talking about, you know, we're seeing our nation divided. D.C. is not the answer. Public politics is not the answer. You, as the Christians, as the church, you are the answer. Let's join him now. This is Congressman Trey Gowdy. Check it out.
So I guess our first question is, do we want to live in a less divisive country? Do we want to live in a country where the contrast remains but the conflict is gone? And if we do, who's going to lead that movement and how is it going to be led? And it will be led by the church. And it has been modeled for you by the greatest barrier breaker who ever lived and the best bridge builder who ever lived. Think about the bridges that he built for you in your life. He bridged the chasm between you and God. He bridged the chasm between death and life. He bridged the chasm between the temporal and the eternal. And the reason I talk about bridges is if you're all on the same side of the river, you don't need a bridge. You don't need a bridge. You only need a bridge if you're willing to talk or interact with someone that's not exactly like you. I don't want anyone to surrender a deeply held conviction. I don't even want you to surrender a not deeply held conviction. I just want to live in a country where we can have a robust conversation about issues that are important to us without fracturing the relationship and making us wonder, what do we have in common? What at all do we have in common? Which brings me back to the quote from G.K. Chesterton, Christianity is hard. I knew that Tim and I had a different relationship when I heard the story about his grandfather, but that would not be the night that he would tell you he knew something was different. That was one of the most tragic nights in the history of our country. There were believers gathered at a church called Mother Emmanuel in Charleston. Church where Tim's uncle attended for more than 50 years, a church where his friend and former colleague, Clemente Pinckney, was the pastor. It's an African-American church. They're meeting during the week, doing exactly what God told them to do. Study the Word. Seek my face. And if a stranger comes in, welcome the stranger. And a stranger came in. Stranger came in that had driven more than 100 miles from Lexington, South Carolina, passing mile marker after mile marker after mile marker, knowing full well what he was about to do. So they welcomed him. They prayed with him. They prayed for him. And then he killed 9 of our fellow believers. Because they happened to be black. And he wanted to start a race war in a state with a very provocative history when it comes to race, in a city where the Civil War began. And what those family members did in the hours after that shooting. To the person. They looked him in the eye when he was arraigned and said, "We forgive you. We forgive you."
I will never talk to her ever again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you.
For me, I'm a work in progress, and I acknowledge that I am very angry. But one thing DePaine has always joined in our family with is that she taught me that we are the family that love built. We have no room for hate, so we have to forgive. And I pray God on your soul.
And then Tim had to give a speech on the floor of the Senate. So he called the family members and said, what would you like me to communicate to the country? And the answer was, God is in control. And then even out of something like this, something positive will come. When I say Christianity is hard, I could not do what they did. I would not do what they did. I could not and I would not. But they did. Because their faith was the most important thing in their lives. So what is your identity? Is it a spiritual identity? Is it a political identity? Is it a geographic identity? I think if we are going to have the community, state, I'll speak for mine and not yours, I'm more familiar with South Carolina, the country that we want to have, it will not come from a political platform. It will not come from a series of political beliefs. It will come from you living out what are very difficult commandments to live out. And for you to trust the ways of a God that does not do things in a conventional way. That uses the bone from an animal as a weapon. That decided to pick a stutterer as a spokesperson. That used trumpets and lanterns to win a battle, and my personal favorite, allowed his own son to lose a voice vote to a guy named Barabbas. If you're a believer, you serve the ultimate barrier breaker, the ultimate bridge builder. You have a God that does things in unconventional ways. Unity is biblical. There's a reason there's a verse in the New Testament. In Christ, there is no male, no female, no Jew, no Gentile, no rich, no poor. And I'm going to paraphrase because I think if Jesus were here, he would say no black, no white, no brown, no Republican, no independent, no libertarian, no Democrat. If he were here, I think that is what he would tell us, that he alone is sufficient. And in him, there is nothing other than, do you believe, do you not believe? And if you believe, you are called to do some very difficult things. One more thing that I could not and would not do, and I hope at some point y'all have a chance to hear from Senator Tim Scott. Culberson will tell you, he's the best person I know in public service. There are lots of good ones on both sides. He's the best. We were freshmen. Something terrible had been written about him. Not only terrible, it can be terrible and true. This was terrible and not true. It's actually defamatory, libelous, actionable. I was tired of it. Sick of it. And it's already one thing to be in the world's least popular body. It's another thing to have people piling on with stuff that's not true. So I got sick of it. And I had that article in my hand. This is before I got the memo about not sharing all negative articles with your friends. I have since gotten that memo and would like to send it to some of my friends, but this is before I knew. I don't have to go tell him every bad thing I've read. I walked into his office, and right past his receptionist, and I said, Tim, I'm sick of this. Sick of it. I'm going to do something about it. And he said, well, let me see it. Showed it to him. He said, come on in. We're going to do something about it. Good. We've got a 9 states congressman, we've got a former prosecutor, and we got a closed door. We're going to finally get someplace. He said, sit with me. Okay. We're going to pray for him. I said, Tim, I'm not. I'm not. And I didn't. But he asked me to sit with him while he did. Christianity is hard. There are very few other facets of life where you would be called to pray for someone who just did that. It's hard. But if you want to change even your own family, something as small but important as that, or you want to change something as large and important as your country, politics hasn't worked. Sports won't work. Geography won't work. Living an authentic, consistent life reflective of the teachings of Christ is what will work. God bless you. Thank you for letting me be with you.
This is such a now word for America. The book is unified. You've got to get it. Senator Tom Scott, Congressman Trey Gowdy. Listen, they've been right in the crux of it as believers and as governmental officials. I want to pray right now. First of all, I want to just pray for all those that have spoken evil against us. God, we just want to pray a blessing over them. God, we pray for those that have saw themselves as somebody that needs to speak just adversarial voices. God, we just bless them. We just turn them over to you, God, and bless them. We pray right now, Father God, for unity, a spirit of unity to come upon this nation, Lord, that you would touch us as your church to help us understand that you are using us to bring that place back to a place of unification, Father God, that we, your people, Father God, in the essentials, unity, and the non-essentials, liberty, and all things love. Father God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. God bless you.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe that, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to, and not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today, and God's bringing people to himself, and you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is you need to go where God is calling you, and that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function, and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's You know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits. And these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children. Even on their journeys, and so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular, of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me. So I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship him and learn the teachings and dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.